CliffCentral.com.
It's Moloko with Forevermore. CliffCentral.com on a Monday morning. Are we free of this cyclone now? Is it moving on? I mean, what's the story? You don't have to worry about it anymore. Mozambique's had the brunt of it, so I suppose we're okay.
Yeah, let's see what the weather service.
Shame, I saw this woman on on ENCA. She seems to be the reporter they always send into the most dangerous places. And she was standing in Limpopo waiting for the storm to come on. She did not look happy. There's like black clouds rolling in the background. I thought, what a horrible assignment. She's always the one they send into these shitty places to do these terrible things. She's, you know, like those clips I played for you last week of those people who go into the middle of the storm and they're kind of holding onto a pole and they've got a raincoat on and the wind is blowing and there's rain and they're talking into the microphone.
Well, Jack, we're standing here and it looks like the storm is coming in real fast. I might even die.
Are you okay there, John?
Yeah, I'm holding on for dear life, and yeah, I'd just like to say to my wife and family, I love them very much, but I've got to do what I got to do to be a weather reporter.
All right, well, John, you look after yourself. At last you see it, John. Blows off the screen.
Yeah,
I find him in a tree 8 weeks later.
I think maybe different parts of the country felt it in different strengths.
Yeah.
I mean, here in Gauteng, nothing happened.
Nah, not really.
Absolutely nothing happened.
We're too busy for that nonsense.
But
in Limpopo, it's still a weather event, still an event.
No, but I mean, I think like, you know, people in Limpopo would have felt it a little bit stronger than what we did here in Gauteng.
Because we're like, oh God, I'm late for this meeting. Why is this water all over the road? We don't care about the weather.
Still, we're glad that it didn't do to us what it did in Mozambique.
Yeah, sure. No, absolutely. All right. I have not seen this lady for a little while now. She was in Idols 2014, which feels like years ago to me. And her name is Lisa Maynard. It's so nice to see you. How are you? What's been happening?
I'm so well. Thank you. Just a little bit sick at the moment, obviously.
With like, what? What are you?
Flying
you...
straight into this... weather situation that you were just speaking of.
Oh, come on.
Wait,
are you sick?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh,
I have a heavy week achter die rug.
What, have you been partying or has
Not
it been
at
work?
All. It's been a lot of, you know, interviews and just like things to make this new single maybe work.
Well, you've just released a new single. That's why we thought we'd get you in here. And also a nice chance for you and me to catch up. So let me give you the official intro, So, listen, I remember you from Idols. You were one of the people I do remember. I don't remember much from Idols. I really don't. But you were quirky. You had a lot of character. You got up on that stage. You were supremely confident for some reason. And it worked. Like, you ended up second runner-up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not bad.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. I'm not going to lie.
No. And that's also kind of why you were charming, because you weren't – I don't think you thought you were going to win, and I don't think you thought that it mattered very much. You were there to just show off what you could do, have some fun, and you had a very chilled approach to the whole thing. Some people get very competitive.
Yeah.
That wasn't you.
I think that's why I was so lucky. And I think that's why, I don't know, maybe certain people connected with me and got behind me is because they could kind of sense that whatever happens, I'm going to be really happy with the outcome. I'm not going to cry myself to sleep if I don't win the competition. But at the same time, it did mean a lot to me and it was important and it fast-tracked me to where I am now. So, I mean, I have no regrets.
I wish everybody could have this attitude, not just to reality shows, but to their lives. Like if – and I sometimes struggle with this, so I'm not going to say I've mastered control over it. But what you said there is really important. You're not attached to the outcome.
Mm.
So it's an experience. It's a fun thing to do. And if it works out really well for you, awesome. But if it doesn't, so what? Your life carries on, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That was that. And that's why I didn't struggle with criticism and I didn't struggle with negativity. And I think that was my edge when it came. Some of the other contestants, you know, they took it quite hard. And I think it affects your performance at the end of the day and everything else that goes along with it.
Well, these days you also get criticism, not just from, you know, four mean judges, but you also get it from the world of social media.
Yeah.
who get it from other people who don't even know you necessarily and get on the internet and say horrible things.
Yeah, which I'm luckily still not too worried about.
Yeah, well, good for you. How do you think you developed this resilience? Is it your parents? Is it the way you were raised? What was it?
Actually, I haven't thought about it at all. I just figured it seems like the most realistic approach. I don't know.
That's incredible. How old are you?
24.
You see? Like, how can you be that smart?
No, I think I'm just lucky.
I still get bogged down in this stuff. I promise you, sometimes I go onto my Twitter feed and I'll, you're like, oh, this is horrible. It doesn't bother you?
I'm not famous enough to be hated that much.
But maybe that's the key, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the solution.
Maybe it's still coming.
So listen, Lisa, as people might recall, you went up there with your guitar a couple of times and you sang some really good songs. You did covers, so you've now got your own single out. What's your ambition for the single? Is it the same? Do you just hope it does really well, but if it doesn't, you're okay? Or have you got a little bit more invested in this?
Yeah, I do think I have a little bit more invested in it. I did give up a degree, I guess.
What were you studying?
I was studying BCom Law. It was cool, but it was very time-consuming, very demanding degree.
At Stellenbosch?
Yeah, at Marty's. Yeah. And I obviously, like, you know, I'm that person that studies the night before and then, you know, stresses maybe a little bit in the morning and then whatever happens, happens. And I didn't really want to do it like that because I had this music thing now going as well and I knew I couldn't do them both properly. And I know that you can study at any time in your life. I can study when I'm 70 if I feel like it, to be honest, but I can't do the music thing. Like, I had that momentum.
No, try breaking into pop music when you're a 70-year-old.
Yeah, and I had that whole thing going for me, and it just didn't make sense to give it up right now. So then I decided, okay, I'm going to stop this cover band thing. I still do weddings and corporates and all of that, and I'm going to actually invest some money and some time and some effort into this and really make a career out of it so that I don't have people on my back saying, why are you still, you know, cruising and this and that, and I'm not. I'm completely independent, and I'm happy, and I'm doing what I love, and there's literally no one who can, you know, give me any flack about it ever, any day of the week.
Right.
So that was my thing. So to do what I love and have no one be able to argue with me about it.
That's pretty cool. It's good to be in a situation where you can control that sort of stuff, but music is not the safest occupation.
Not, I mean, at all.
There's just no money in it unless you are a massive megastar. Who's already well known and where people can't wait for your next Lemonade album.
Yeah.
Or if you're prepared to do all the hard work and do gig after gig after gig, and you say you do weddings, you do corporate gigs, you have to do those things to pay the bills, right?
Yeah, because exactly.
There's no money in selling singles.
No, not at all. No, I think that's like a marketing expense, if you can put it that way.
Right.
That's what it is to me, at least.
It's product.
Yeah.
You've got to put something out so that people can go, oh, okay, this is nice. I like her.
Yeah. But I'm enjoying it so much. And this whole songwriting thing was also, it's also new to me. And it was quite a big step. You have to make yourself a bit vulnerable, you know, to stay authentic and put out relatable content and this and that. But it's really been the coolest experience, and I've enjoyed it so much with the producers I've been working with and everything. And people have been responding quite well. So it's exciting.
You said another kind of revealing thing. You have to be a bit vulnerable and you have to put yourself out there. How much do people know about you and your life?
Nothing, unless I really trust them. They'll never really know, I don't think.
Well, I mean, you got to tell us something now. Come on, you got to give us a little something.
No, honestly, I could sit and write about these headphones in front of me and you would think I was talking about this high school crush broke my heart. You would
really?
Never know. I promise
Are
you
Are you
I
that
can.
Good at concealing your own feelings?
I think I'm pretty good at it.
Why do you think you've become like that?
I don't know. It's probably a defense mechanism. I'm not sure. Okay. I don't think about these things. Maybe that's why I'm so happy.
I didn't bring you here to put you on the psychologist couch. That's not the deal.
Yeah, no, I don't think about these things too often. I just feel what I feel and then learn from it and then do tomorrow.
But if you're a singer and a song, if you really want a song to mean something, you can't make it about headphones. It has to be something real. You could pretend that it's about something else and write it about the headphones.
Yeah.
But if you want the song to mean something, and I would suggest that you're probably not the kind of singer, songwriter who wants to write bullshit.
No, I don't want to throw my hands in the AO music.
Yeah, so
right
when you do, what are the chief sources of your inspiration? I mean, where do you pull the stuff from? Life experiences?
Yeah, I guess. I also have massive complex about lying. I guess. So I also don't want to go and, you know, put a bunch of rubbish into something that really means something to me. So I guess if you look really deep enough, then you will see it is very personal stuff. But I also do collaborate with other people and we draw from each other's experiences. And then other than that, I can watch a movie and literally feel like I'm the person in the movie and write about that experience. It may as well have been mine. And other than that, scenic places, the ocean, things that overwhelm me, like looking at mountains freaks me out. They just seem so big.
I like that.
And then I feel funny and then I can write about it.
That's awesome. Oh. All right. So tell me about the new single. What is it? What's it called? What's it all about?
So the new single's called I Was. I did it with a guy in Stellenbosch, Ben Ludek, friend of mine. It's everything, all the instruments in it alive. Well, I think 90% of the instruments in the song alive, which is pretty cool. Compared to the first one, it's like complete opposite.
Those were basically all programmed.
Yeah. We went for more, I don't even know what the genre is of the first one, but I guess it's more dance house type of stuff with a guitar. But this next one is very like Pink influenced, I think, like rock type of thing. And the story is basically a flatmate of mine from last year came home like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, had a big night and had a big story to tell. And we sat down and we wrote it. She was like, I'm going to write a song. The song has to be called I Was for whatever reason. And then we wrote the song, put it on the music, made a demo that same night, like the most rubbish demo in the world, and played it to all my friends and they were obsessed with it. And I was like, okay, but maybe we should use this song. And then she ended up sticking me for the costs for the single, and she was like, we have to do this, and then we did it,
and that's pretty cool.
Now it's here.
Now I saw you sing this song. I'm going to play this clip because it comes from Espresso. You did that live. I think that was your first live performance on television with the song.
Yeah.
And are you performing with this guy who you wrote it with?
No, that's actually the producer who's playing the guitar there with me.
Okay, so take a listen to this so you know what song we're talking about.
Listen, we're about to close down this feel-good edition.
All right, this is Espresso, so
with Lisa Maynard, we've been enjoying her.
Let Katleho, my boy, finish his intro, and then we can hear you.
To know where you're gigging.
Okay, come on, let's move along. Sorry, Lisa, we'll get to all of that in a second.
I think you will have...
Okay, here we go. I always have to put in these intros.
There I was falling in love with you. You're not even believing in love. Making me wonder if I should run with you. And you're not even believing in us. Darling, I know I promise. Don't blame me for breaking the rules while staring into your eyes.
Slowest version in the world.
Yeah, but I like that. Da-na-na, da-na-na, de-ne-ne, de-ne-ne. I like that. What is that chord? What do we do? He's playing that, right?
Yeah, he's playing.
What is that? Did you come up with that?
No, he did, actually.
Beautiful.
I wish I did.
Jeez.
Yeah,
amazing.
I left this guy alone for like 2 hours, and then I came back, and he was like, this is what I have, and I was so impressed.
He said, get to work.
Yeah. Something like that.
I love it.
Yeah. Right, no, that was fun.
What's not to like? Now, when you do these things live, do you still get nervous?
Smaller crowds, more nervous.
Really?
Like generally for me, yeah.
The bigger the crowd, the less you are like apprehensive about them.
Yeah. If I've just sit like in a room with two people and they're looking me like dead in the eye and I have to sing a song that means something to me, I will not fare well.
you did the lyrics?
Yeah, with a flatmate, yeah.
So what's it all about? Since we got into the meaning of songs just now.
Well, I can't say too much about this one because it's not my experience. That was the whole thing. So I was more involved with a specific single on the musical side of things. So, but the story behind it is basically like, she was seeing this guy or whatever. And then she was like, okay, I'm going to write you a song. Because this girl who was living with me also has like tons of life experience at her age. Like you don't want to hear. But, And then she was like, give me two words and I'll write you a song. And he was like, okay, I was. Okay. So there's the title for the song. Hmm. And then come home and we're feeling like, you know, a little bit festive and we sit on the bed and we start writing the song. And then if you go and listen, it's kind of like a story. So all of these things in the, like each paragraph almost has been actually said, like in real life, these words have been used. So it was like a bunch of rules almost that were set out in the song. So it's about like the type of relationship that you can't actually have, like, you want to, but it's not going to work. It's kind of like that.
Okay, you say that that's not your personal experience, but I mean, it still comes from, that's deep. That's some real human.
I guess it's relatable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. And like so who gets the most money, you or Ben Luddick?
I guess me.
Yeah. When you sell a single, like how does it work?
What's okay, no. When I own all the masters of all my music because I'm not with any record labels.
Good for you.
So every single that I sell, I make 100% of whatever. Okay. But royalties obviously don't work like that. This guy wrote here and this guy did this piece of music and this guy published here. But I mean, royalties is like 2 cents a year. So I mean, I'm not going to cry about that either.
There. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've always wondered how it works because the composer really should get the lion's share of it.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it's the most copywriter's most confusing thing I've ever read about in my life. Like, yeah. It makes me anxious when I even just hear the word.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, some of the best stuff comes from people being open about that and not trying to hold the intellectual property rights. I mean, the more you share the stuff, the more collaboration can take place.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I had to deal with all of this when I brought out that Christmas album for that charity project. So there's 8 covers in aid of the charity that I was ambassador of.
Mm.
And there was so much, you know, admin involved with just putting 8 covers on a CD, selling it for profit for a charity. And I was like, admin.
So you weren't even making money. You were giving it to a charity, but it was such a colossal administrative nightmare that it almost you almost thought afterwards, was this worth it?
Yeah, it was more like a liability than anything else. Yeah.
See, this is the hard side of music that people don't realize. Everybody wants to be in music, right? Because it's a glamorous, interesting, creative business.
Yeah, it seems
business.
Fun.
Sure, it seems from the outside, but it's a lot harder when you're in the inside.
Mm.
You want to grab that old guitar of yours?
Yes, what are we singing?
I don't know. You're going to surprise me. I'm going to leave this to you. I love all the stickers. It's got a big guitar case with all these stickers all over it.
Collect them along the way.
Yeah, that thing travels with you, right?
Yeah.
Do you have to retune it every time?
Yeah, I should, but I don't.
Well, just don't let it be all out of tune for me, if you don't mind.
I can't let the guitar take my shine.
Like, no, of course not.
The voice is the main thing.
Does she have a name?
Nah.
Some people name the guitar.
My name is mine.
All right. Yours.
Yeah.
That's the name of the guitar. I like it. All right. You know what? Just mess around for us, whatever. I just like to hear you play.
Change my mind. We need a tune.
All right. You can tune. We've got some time. This place is a low-stress environment. And I could listen to that all the I did say we were going to interview your guitar, so this is how we do the interview with the guitar. Yeah. I ask it a question, and it goes...
Quality sound.
Yeah. See? How are you this morning? There, that sounds good. Okay, what are we singing?
A cover or what?
Whatever
you like.
A cover.
It's too sad song.
All right. I know you did this at Idols.
Okay.
I'm not going to put a song into your head unless you do want to do it. But I know you did Leonard Cohen. And I heard
my goodness.
Yeah, I know. I heard the most amazing story about that song, about how long it took him to write it.
Yeah? Are you talking about Hallelujah?
Yeah, Hallelujah.
But that song, do you know how many verses that song actually has? I can't even find the most of them.
Plenty. It was he cobbled and hammered and changed and polished and removed. The guy was obsessed.
Yeah.
And when he wrote that song, Bob Dylan asked him, how long did it take you to write Hallelujah? And he was too embarrassed to admit how long it actually took. So he said to him, 2 years. Bob Dylan almost fell off his chair. He said, 2 years? I've never taken more than a couple of minutes to write a song.
So did it take longer or not?
It took 5-6 years for him to put Hallelujah together. And then he still kept changing it.
That's crazy. But so, yeah, it's an incredible song. But
you don't want to do it?
I sing it at every second funeral. I don't associate good things with that song.
All right, but I just think you do it so beautifully. I mean,
okay, should we do it? Should we just break the ice?
I know lots of people love this song. Please do it for me.
Okay.
I loved it.
Whew, I haven't done it in ages. Okay, you have to be gentle.
Okay, I will.
Well, I've heard there was secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. And maybe there Joburg air makes me out of breath.
Wow. Oh, man, that is magnificent. No, I love it. I love it. I'm sorry. I know you're tired of playing that song, but
I'm not tired. It's just like a, it's an emotional trip.
It is, huh?
Yeah.
Now, aren't those lyrics just magic?
Song. Yeah.
You could see why he spent so long getting it together, because it was really important to him. Mm. He wanted it to matter.
Yeah. It's a confusing song, though. It's odd lyrics.
All right, if that one you associate with horrible things, what else do people ask you to play all the time that you don't associate with, like, sadness? And
oh, my word. You know what's the best?
Tough emotional
Hotel
stuff.
California.
Oh, gorgeous.
the Eagles.
But
oh,
now
people
that,
love that.
They're actually doing, in the beginning of that song, two guitars.
Yeah,
right?
No, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with the guitaring in that song.
Isn't it magnificent?
Insane, yeah.
I could listen to that. Just that introduction.
Yeah, it's crazy.
To Hotel California for the rest of my life.
It's like a song by itself, that
yeah.
intro. Well, it's long enough.
All right.
Oh.
Well, I mean, what do you want to do? You're here to show off.
We're doing another song.
Whatever. Yeah, unless you... Is there something
should
in your...
Should we do that song?
Go for it. Come on.
Okay.
Bring it on.
Do a part of it.
I love this. This to me is what I want to do.
If you brought another guitarist for me, then I'll do the solo.
Mubs, can you grab your guitar?
No.
Are you sure? God damn.
I think it's safe that I don't.
Are you sure? I'd love to see you play the guitar. I know you can if you want to. All right, let's mess around with Hotel California without the other guitar. Let's go.
Okay, let's try.
Lisa Maynard, everybody.
Smell of Kalitas rising up through the air.
saw a shimmering light. My head grew heavy and my side grew dim. I had to stop for the night. As she stood in the doorway, I heard the mission bell. I was thinking to myself, this could be heaven or this could be hell. Then she lit up a candle and she showed me the way. And there were voices down the corridor. I thought I heard them say, welcome to the Hotel California. Such a lovely place. Such a lovely face. Plenty of room at the Hotel California. Any time of year, you can find it here. Mine is Tiffany twisted. She got a Mercedes Benz. She got a lot of pretty, pretty boys that she calls friends. How they dance in the courtyard, sweet summer sweat. Some dance to remember, some dance to forget. So I called up the captain and please bring me my wine, he said. We haven't had that much spirit here since 1969. Still those voices are calling from far away. Wake you up in the middle of the night just to hear them say, welcome to the Hotel California. Such a lovely place. Such a lovely face. Plenty of room at the Hotel California. Any time of year, you can find it here.
Oh, man, that's fantastic.
Oh,
I love this. You know, this is what I would do with my spare time if I were really, really rich and retired. I would just sit and just have musicians just come and sit in front of me and play. God damn it. It's so much fun.
How do you think I make money?
I know, but it's so much fun to just listen to this stuff.
These people.
Just
these
jam.
These rich people.
Right? Yeah, it's good, right?
Yeah.
Play at their weddings.
They are fantastic.
Been to some shitty weddings, though?
Mm-mm.
You don't have to mention names.
I
all
haven't.
Good?
I promise you, I haven't.
All good?
All incredible.
Wow.
Yeah. No, blessed.
That's a good thing to go. A funeral's a little bit different.
Oh, no. That is...
How many of those have you done?
No, I don't know.
Plenty.
Yeah.
It's very emotional, huh? Even if you don't know the person involved.
Yeah, I've never not known.
Oh, so you? It's always a...
Yeah,
okay.
I hate it. Yeah.
God, that is hard. What sort of a family do you have?
My family.
Yeah, tell me about
that. Okay,
them.
My family.
Yeah.
Yes, I should have known you're going to put me on the spot.
No,
today.
I'm not asking you this for, you know, I'm not trying to reveal anything you don't want to reveal. I just want you to talk about where you come from. People got to know your context.
Yeah, my family is pretty musical, I guess. My dad sings really well, plays guitar. He taught me how to play guitar. My mom can play piano. My grandma was a piano teacher, I think.
Wow.
And so I grew up with a lot of music when I was little. We had this tradition of, you know, like people watch Sunday, the rugby on the Sunday in their little sunroom, whatever. Yeah. We had this dark room where we would play all our music DVDs. So it was like Frank Sinatra, Tina Turner, Robbie Williams later. There was Celine Dion. It's like I was obsessed. I would go in there even by myself. And then I would stand on the chair and I have a, you know, classic brush or a toothbrush or something and perform these things with these people. Like I may as well have been up there on the stage with them. So that, I think, had a big influence, especially on my taste in music. So yeah. I do like a lot of the old stuff, you know, not old, but Bruce Springsteen and that type of stuff. And then growing up, they are those typical, like I can't complain about them. Like everyone has their shit, but they are like the most supportive two people I've ever met. Like I don't know who would pay that amount of money for someone to go do 1 year at Stellenbosch and then say, ach, if you want to leave it to do music, then you do you.
Because most parents would run and hide if their kids said to them, I'm going to go and become a musician and they've started off first year. They're going to be like, no, you're not.
Yeah, finished off, you started. Yeah. Yeah, but they've been incredibly supportive. I mean, my mom comes to 90% of my shows and my dad is always also somewhere to sound check or to say, did you hear this song on the radio? You need to perform this. Or they've never
not once said to me, you can't do that. Do the music. You can't do this. You can't do that. Not once.
That's phenomenal. If I had a kid and they said to me they wanted to be in music, I would beat them until they stopped. Because you don't know. Like, the future is a lot tougher for a musician.
Yeah.
Plus, you have a band, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
You need them some of the
kind
time.
Of, right. Yeah, thing I'm playing. Usually it's just me and a loop pedal. But if it's like a big festival, we really need like a proper vibe. Like the other day, I was supposed to open for Francois and Coke, and then it rained out and he ended up opening for me. That was quite funny.
Oh, wow.
But for that type of thing.
That's like God has intervened and made you the star of the show.
Yeah, that was a good time. But like for that type of thing, I'll have a band. I have this drummer that went to school with me. He's like absolute genius, and he's mate from Varsity, a bassist, and the three of us like – you can request a song right now and we'll be able to play it. See, like, we just have that thing. Like.
Now, a lot of people have a thing about cover musicians. I don't think you do.
Do you mean like a stigmatism, like a bad thing?
Yeah, I think that people say that if you're a cover band, you don't have your own original material. And a lot of people get caught up on who the author of something is. Like, if it's your original, and you've got original songs. We played one just now.
Yeah.
But I think the most versatile people are the ones who can. And remember, the Beatles, before they had written any of their big hit songs, were doing covers in, where was it? In Germany, Stuttgart. They were doing them there for, I don't know, like 14 hours a day. They would just be on stage doing covers in some nasty little club. That's where they cut their teeth. That's where they became really great at mastering their instrument, at listening to each other, and at being able to figure out the song on the go. Yeah. Is that how you learn a song? I mean, is it quick for you, like Hotel
it's
California?
Very quick. Yeah, because I can't read music, so I've my whole life like been based on completely play by ear.
Wow.
So if I hear a song, I can sit and then listen, and then I'll figure out the chord progression in my head, because I can just, like, from doing it so often, that's why I can tune a guitar without a tuner.
I saw you doing that.
So then I can sit and I'll play it whatever key you need it. That's basically, so I guess I'm also lucky in that way.
That's incredible.
If I know the song well enough, obviously I can't hear a song for the first time ever and then all of a sudden just know it. Then I'll have to sit 10 minutes with it.
You did Hotel California in its original key, which is what?
I think B minor. B minor, all right. Key, yeah.
Is there a way you could transpose that to F?
Yeah, but then I'll just put a capo on and I play it there.
Let me hear it. Just do that on a dark desert highway, do it first in original key. Right. On a dark desert highway. Do that one and then go straight into, and then stop.
Okay.
And go to F.
One verse.
I want you to show off.
On a dark desert highway.
Right.
Okay, so now I would have to find F. So F would be up here. And then I would put the thing.
Okay. Now I know what you're doing here. I want everybody to hear
capo.
This. Okay, now go.
But now it would be too high for me. Or too low. On a dark desert highway.
Beautiful. You see, that's all I want.
Cool into my head.
Nice key.
Yeah. But that's cool when you're playing with other people. If you shift around.
And for you then, the singing must be the easiest part.
Yeah, I think... No, actually, I've been a musician my whole life.
Yeah.
The singing thing came much later. Like I also told you, I guess, I had no intention of entering Idols. It just happened with a campus radio station competition.
Right, they forced you in.
One thing led to another. No, the girl was literally like, we need people to enter. Can you please enter?
Mm.
And I was like, yeah, obviously, of course I'll enter. And then I end up winning the thing. And then I go to the auditions for Idols. And yeah, like I'm going through. And then I go to the next round. And here I'm going through. And then like one thing led to another. And then it like took up a year of my life. And that
I remember like Randall.
Milestone.
Randall thought you were amazing.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a lot of nice things to say about people. You know, he's much more mild and mellow now.
Yeah. No, Randall was, I think Randall always backed me. I never.
Yeah, he thought you were awesome.
Yeah.
But I think you're a musician.
The only thing, any interview I've ever done or magazine, anything, the only thing they can ever remember about Randall is when he said, you don't have to be this thing that you are now. I can see you dressed up, looking hot in makeup.
Because you looked like what, a student?
I was looking exactly like I look now. I was wearing probably like Plucky's black pants, a black t-shirt, like, you know, like I always dress.
And he didn't think that was good enough. He wanted to doll you up.
It was like a passing comment, and that's the only thing people can remember. Ugh. Like he told me about all this other music and all these other things.
I don't even remember one thing.
People were like, what are you listening to?
I don't think I said anything meaningful to you.
You did.
Did I?
He said, I think you made my day.
Oh, that's a compliment of a kind. I remember what you sang. And I just do love watching someone doing what they're the best at. That to me is fun. Do you ever know when you've nailed it? Can you feel that in your gut? Like if you go up on stage, let's say you do a festival or a small little thing, as you said, 2 or 3 people sitting there and you grab a guitar. Do you just know when you've just nailed it? And can you tell when you've gone really off the reserve?
I think like I have this problem where I always think I nailed it.
That's not a problem.
Even when it's bad. And I think people are more receptive of that. Then you convince them to think you nailed it. And then you did nail it. Like if I said I nailed it and you think that I nailed it because I think that I nailed it, then I nailed it. You know what I'm saying?
It's like the bullshit of bullshitting the bullshit.
Yeah, all my mistakes are intentional. Yeah.
And in music, you can get away with a little bit of license.
You can get away with anything.
There isn't a perfect way to do a song.
No.
No.
Never.
See, that's the smart thing.
I do them so differently already. Like, I don't think there's a lot of space for.
What do you think of what kind of music's coming out now? What are you listening to right now?
In South Africa.
Yeah. Well, everywhere, the world. Like, what do you think of music now?
Well, it's so different to what I used to listen to.
Because you used to listen to a lot of old stuff, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I did. And even like, you know, I did listen to a lot of Green Day and Blink-182 and even My Chemical Romance, and that was all live music, and everything now is in the box. Like, I think that's the most frustrating thing. Every second guy sitting in his bedroom on his laptop with Ableton that he got for free from a friend, making the most amazing music. Kygo, Avicii, all these guys, whatever, can sit literally here in the studio and make a hit song. So in one sense, that's frustrating. Because it's not as musical. It's very technical, and you have to make these kind of melodies that really resonate with people. But like, it's not these guys on stage with guitars doing insane solos and the drummer going crazy and kicking his drums off the stage like Mumford and Sons did the other day, which like blew my mind. Like, I think that to me is a little bit frustrating, but I do listen to the music, and especially the South African stuff. That's the local music is unreal. Like often I'll listen to the radio and I don't know if it's international or not. Usually you would be able to tell quickly, like, yes, I'm not even going to Google this because I know I'm not going to find it on the internet. And now everything is accessible, everything's available, everything is really good, top quality.
Yeah, so in some ways it's the best thing ever, and in other ways it's just really crappy because it's...
Well, now it's just harder to be better.
But that's okay, right?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, that means everybody has to up their game.
Otherwise it would be very boring.
All right. And relationships, what's going on there? Are you single?
I promise you I have no time.
I'm just asking you if you're single.
I promise you.
I'm single.
So single, it's unreal. Yeah. Like,
you don't have time.
The best thing. Single is like...
You're selfish.
Single is life.
I'm selfish.
Yeah.
That's what
you
I
have
like.
To. Selfish people live longer, you see.
Well, you're talking to Mabali as well. I mean, she's so selfish. The only time she indulges in anything close to a relationship is when she frees one of her basement slaves.
Hey, I don't owe anybody anything.
That's a good place to be. So what's the big dream? I mean, where do you want things to end up? Or do you not have an outcome selected, like you were saying with Idols? And it seems to me, even with every song you play, there isn't a desired outcome. The journey is the fun part.
Yeah, I used to have one and then it disappeared. Like everyone, I want to be a singer. I want to play at... You know, Madison Square Garden, Royal Albert Hall. Like, sure, wow, that's incredible. I want to be Celine Dion. And then you do it, and it's like, whoa, can you, like, pipe down for 2 minutes? It's not happening. So I got rid of that, and I'm literally just enjoying what I'm doing. Like, I can't – I almost get frustrated when people, like, that I know ask me, like, so what is your 5-year plan? Like, I literally – I don't even remember what I had for supper last night. I honestly don't. Like, I have no idea what I'm going to have for supper tonight. I have no idea where I'm going to be next week, Wednesday. Like, how do you want me to tell you what I'm going to do for the next 5 years of my life? I could go back and study marketing. I could go and start a BSc. Like, I literally do not know. Like, I only do what makes me happy. And I'm telling you, if I don't, then I won't be good at it.
That's
my plan.
It's such a smart way of going about things. And this is also why you're so different. I mean, I could care less about people who were on Idols in 2014. The fact is, you come in here and you play like that, and I can tell that this is just something very real in that moment for you. It's beautiful.
Well, it's really cool to be here.
No, it's cool to see you again. All right, before you go, I'm going to make you work one more time. You can either play something original or you can just give me a blowaway cover. I mean, I don't care. I'll be happy to watch you play Humpty Dumpty Sat on a Wall.
I would prefer to do covers. What I actually wanted to say to you just now is all those weddings and corporates and these need cover bands because people like to listen to things they know.
Yes. Yes.
That's why I don't know what the issue is with covers.
But some people are very uptight about playing covers. Mm-hmm. They get upset when you ask them to because they go, oh, I've got my own music to play.
Yeah.
You don't care.
But I also, when I sit at a restaurant and there's a guy playing, I don't actually want to hear your music. I don't know it.
I agree.
I don't want to hear it.
Let me play something I can sing along.
Yeah.
And the more I drink, the more I'm going to want to sing along.
Mm.
I got you.
That's all what right. I'm saying.
Good. I'm glad we don't have an argument there. Let's
I'm going to do my first single, okay?
Go for it.
And this one, you should have interviewed me about this song because this one is about my insomnia and the hallucinations that I have at night. Like, it's a real problem. That's why.
What, like, do you dream about falling?
I dress like this so I can fit in with everything else in my room.
Do you dream of falling? And
no, what? I see things. I'm not kidding.
What, monsters?
They're not monsters.
What do you see?
They're so scary.
Come on. All right, now we're on the therapist cuff. What do you see?
No, like, have you watched Insidious? Have you watched it?
Insidious?
Yeah.
What is that? Is it a TV show?
Scary movie.
Uh-uh.
There's evil things. They sit in the corners.
Do you see those in your dreams at night?
No, but I'm awake.
You can't sleep. You see them in the corner of your room.
Yeah. But now I'm used to it, so I just put on the lights and have a glass of water and then go back to sleep.
God, what is going on in that mind?
But I was just giving you a bit of context for the lyrics to this
song. So this is what you're going to play for us now, the monster song.
Yeah, this is my debut single.
All right, let's go.
My demon song.
Go, bring it on.
I got demons chasing me. They take over my dreams. They hardly let me breathe. No, they never let me breathe. I hate darkness when I sleep. It doesn't let me see what's happening to me, what they're doing to me. Save me, please just won't you save me. I've been thinking lately, I'm even scared to daydream. Wake me before the darkness takes me. Spirit said they gave me no hope to sleep again. I have demons on my legs. I'm chained onto my bed. I can't move my frightened head when I try to move my head. Written and I've read, I've followed and I've led, but I can't escape the dead. No, I can't escape my head. Save me, please just won't you save me. I've been thinking lately, I'm even scared to daydream. Wake me before the darkness takes me. Spirit said they gave me no hope to sleep again.
Great. That's a great song.
That was an interesting one.
I love the way you're laughing and smiling while he's singing about monsters and daydreams.
Because I'm looking at her and I feel like she's laughing at me.
Mabali.
No, I'm laughing with you.
Are you laughing with me?
Because you were laughing that entire time.
Yeah, I know. But like, I'm laughing at thinking about you listening to what I'm saying.
You're happy though. You're really happy.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell you
fake it till you make it.
Yeah, but you like your life right now, huh?
Yeah, I'm happy.
It's good. Some of these people. Some of these people who haven't necessarily got to where they want to get to, they're miserable about their lives. They keep feeling like they've got yet more to do and they're not there yet and they're impatient.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even
I don't
care.
Think I am where I could be though, but I mean, if I get there, then what must I do?
All right, Lisa, listen, it's awesome to see you again.
Yeah, so cool to see you again. Thank you for having me.
Let's sell huge heaps of these singles, even though you're not going to become rich off of it. You're going to do lots of performing as a result of it.
Yes.
And keep on producing this stuff.
I will.
You're not one of those people who thinks all the best songs have been written, are you?
Written?
You know, there are only 8 keys.
Oh, all the best songs have already been written.
Is that what you think?
Of course not.
Okay, because I had a friend who said that to me once. I got very depressed.
No, sure. I wish you hadn't said that.
Well, there
That's
are only
stick in my
the
head
8 keys. There are only so many combinations from a melody point of view that you can ever achieve.
But look how long we've been at it.
I know, and I still think
that's
not what I believe. This is what he said to me. He's a session guitarist. Yeah. He's a mathematician. He said there's only so many combos you can have.
Shame, but he's wrong.
I hope so. I hope he's wrong. Please continue to prove him wrong.
I will try.
I don't want to think that all the great songs have been written. I want to be alive when they write the next great one.
Also.
All right. Well, listen, awesome to see you.
Yeah, awesome.
And pop by and see us again sometime soon.
Definitely will.
Yeah, don't be a stranger. I love seeing this live performance thing. It's great. All right, let's wrap it up with the news for this morning, and we will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Here's what you need to know. Robert Gabriel Mugabe is set to celebrate his 93rd birthday tomorrow. With that, he reassured the nation that he has no intentions of stepping down from power. He simply said that there's nobody else who's capable enough of being the president of Zimbabwe, as the key attribute to leading the country is, after all, being Robert Gabriel Mugabe. In other news, Brian Molefe is about to become an ANC MP, primed for the role of captured finance minister. Molefe is everything the ANC are looking for right now in their cabinet and will no doubt be towing more lines than a Chinese fishing trawler in no time at all. Puchara Kongwat Mai has come close to capturing the first European Tour title over the weekend. He fell at the final hurdle, though. Still at 17, the Thai talent has shown he's made for the big time. Unlike, listen to these names, Mubs, You Know He's Too Young, and Kim Still Suck Teat, who failed to transition from child to professional golfing ranks. We shall see you on the morrow. Have a great day, blah, blah, blah. And thank you to our guest, Lisa Maynard. Thank you to Mubs. Thank you to Ben. Thank you to Sia. And thank you to you. We're out of here. CliffCentral.com.